in Psalm 119, we now come to the letter Nun, beginning in verse 105 through 112. Ner leragli devarecha v'or lintivati. Your word is a light to my feet, and or a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. Ner is the noun, masculine singular, meaning light. So, light to my feet. The lamed is the inseparable preposition, followed by the noun regel. And notice regel is the noun meaning foot. And here we have the noun followed by the hirik yod, the pronominal suffix, first common singular, used, I believe, here in the noun in a collective way. So we could translate it, a light to my feet, devarecha, is your word. Notice devarecha is from the word davar, meaning word, and ha is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular, your word. Notice the shortening of the noun, or of the vowel, the two kamatzes, one under the dalet, one under the bet. Davar becomes devarecha, changes to a shiva when we're hurrying to get to the final syllable. So your word is a lamp to my feet, v'or lintivati, and a light to my path. Ve is just the conjunction and notice the lamed is the lamed of preposition, inseparable preposition again, followed by the noun netiva. Netiva means path. And notice netiva changes to netivat in construct with the hirik yod, which is your pronominal suffix, again, first common singular. Here we have parallelism. A light to my feet is your word. Or a lamp to my feet is your word. And a light to my path. God's word is like a light in the darkness, so to speak. It enlightens our way so that we know how to live, we know how to walk, and it protects us from erring and going against the will of the Lord. So we need the Word of God to be a constant light, to be a constant lamp, so that we'll know how to walk and conduct our lives in this world. Again, the importance of the Word in the whole area of illumination, of throwing light on our path. And then as we go on to 106, Nishbati v'akayema lishmor mishpate tzidkecha. I have sworn and I have confirmed it. That is, to keep the commandments, literally, of your righteousness. Notice, nishbati is from the root shabbah. And here it is the nifal, perfect, first common singular, with the T suffix on the, or affix on the nifal. And notice, the nun gives it away as a nifal, the nun prefix. And so, this nifal, normally shava, occurs in the nifal stem. It's passive in the kal if we're looking at a passive participle. But here, in its normative use, it is nifal. So, I have sworn and I have confirmed it understood. Notice, va'akayema, va'akayema is from the root kum, to confirm, or establish. Kayam, perhaps historically. And what is happening here, notice we have an aleph and we have a composite shiva, a chatef or a hurried pathot, followed then by the pathot under the kof. And this is then followed by a tsere, an I vowel. So we have a shiva pathot, and we have a doubling of the middle radical in the yod. So we're looking at a PL, imperfect, first common singular from the root kum. And the ah is making it emphatic. So I have confirmed it. I have sworn and I have given confirmation to this oath that I've sworn. And then he describes what he has sworn to do. Lishmor mishpatei tzidkecha. To keep, to observe. Notice lishmor is the kal infinitive construct from shamar, to keep, with the lamed prefix, to keep the ordinances of your righteousness. Mishpatei is from the noun mishpat, meaning ordinance. And here we have a plural noun, masculine in construct, with the tseriyod, with tzidkecha. Tzidkecha meaning your righteousness. It's from the noun tzedek, meaning righteousness, and it has the kaf, the second person singular, pronominal suffix. So I've sworn to keep and to constantly absorb or observe the righteous ordinances that you have given, the ordinances that are upright and righteous. In other words, the psalmist says, I'm really keeping my promise. I've sworn that I'm going to keep the ordinances of your righteousness. How we need that attitude today, an attitude of really taking, as it were, an oath to the Lord that we are determined to keep His word, to fulfill His commandments, His ordinances, which are right and just and fair and correct for a follower of the Lord. And so what a beautiful statement that the psalmist is making that can apply to our lives as we determine to fulfill the Lord's word in every way in our lives. Then he goes on in 107, Na'aneti ad me'od Adonai chayeni chedvarecha. I am afflicted very much, or exceedingly. O Lord, quicken me, give life to me, according to your word. Notice, na'aneti is from ana, to afflict. It's a final hey, or a lamed hey verb. It has a nun prefix, so we're looking at a nifal, perfect, first common singular from ana. And notice the T, affix, or suffix, is showing a first person singular. So I am afflicted, literally, unto abundance, meaning very much, or exceedingly. Odd is your preposition, and ma'od is a noun that means abundance. So I am afflicted very much, or literally unto or up to abundance. O Lord, and here we have a direct address, of Adonai, O Lord, Hayeni, quicken me, give life to me, according to your word. Hayeni is from the verb chaya. It is a PL, imperative, second masculine singular, with the pronominal suffix hirik yod or e. The nun is like a hinge, getting us to that pronominal suffix, I believe. So, O Lord, quicken me. And notice the PL imperative is indicated by the pathak under the chet, followed by the doubling of the yod, the middle radical. So give life to me according to your word. Ke is the preposition meaning according to, and devarecha. Notice devarecha again is the noun devar, or word, and devarecha, we have that preposition followed by the noun, and then the pronominal suffix in the cha, second masculine singular. So quicken me according to your word. What a beautiful text here. He finds himself afflicted very much, whether it's from mistreatment of others because of his following of the Lord. Whatever it is, he's afflicted. And so he is asking that he would be quickened, given life according to God's word. I'm reminded of the Sermon on the Mount. If you are persecuted on account of righteousness, count it joy, Jesus says. But it's the word of God that we must go to for life in the midst of affliction, whatever that affliction is. And I believe, again, the word of God is life-giving. It gives life. It's alive. It's energetic. That is the difference, I believe, between the scriptures and other great literature. I can read Homer, for example, in the Greek, or Virgil, or Plato, but it doesn't give life like the Word of God. The Word of God is life-giving, like nothing else, because God's Spirit is in the Word. And so, we as believers in Jesus Christ need to go to the Scripture for spiritual vitality, for spiritual life. It also takes us away from just the a humdrum or a kind of following of Christ that doesn't have life to it. The Word of God brings life. It brings us to the Lord Jesus and helps us to know Him in a deeper and more intimate way, hence giving life. And the Holy Spirit living inside of a believer of Christ quickens the Word and brings the Word of God to life as we meditate and read in it. Then in verse 108, Nidvot pi retzena Adonai u'mishpatecha lamadeni. Accept my free will offerings, I beseech you now, O Lord. I want you to accept now my offerings and the judgments or ordinances, your ordinances, teach me. Notice, nedavot is from nedava, meaning free will offering. And pi, actually ot, shows that we're looking at a feminine plural noun in nedavot. Pi is the noun, pi meaning mouth, and now we have a hirik yod, first person, personal pronoun, my mouth. So the free will offerings of my mouth, except ratsa means to accept, and here we have a kal imperative, second masculine singular, followed by the na in clitic added to it. So it's like he's beseeching the Lord, accept, O Lord. And here we have a Lord being addressed again in an address. Accept now, O Lord, the free will offerings of my mouth that I freely give in my praise to you, in my adoration of you, and teach me your ordinances. U is just your conjunction and. Mishpatecha is from mishpat, meaning ordinance. And notice the segol yod puts it in the plural construct, a masculine plural construct of this noun, again with the cha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So your ordinances teach me. Notice lamadeni is from lamad, to teach, and here we're looking at a PL imperative, second masculine singular from lamad, followed by the pronominal suffix in the e, the hirikyot, first person singular pronominal suffix. So he's asking the Lord to be his teacher and to teach him his ordinances. So there's a beautiful request here. The praises and prayers of my mouth, representing my free will offerings that I'm speaking to you, accept, receive, O Lord, and the judgments, your judgments, instruct me. He wants to continue to grow. He wants to learn the mishpatim, or the mishpatecha, your judgments, or the judgments that the Lord can teach him. One of the most important things in life is that we must ever want to learn more about the Lord's Word and what He wants to teach us and how He wants to instruct us. And we ask that our praises can be acceptable to Him. He is so vast that all of Lebanon, the writer Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 40, is not sufficient to build an altar to worship the Lord. And all of the beasts of Lebanon offered in sacrifice would not be sufficient. So our praises, sometimes we can feel, are rather minuscule in light of His greatness. But He wants it, and He accepts it. And He accepts the praise and the prayer of our very lips that we give to Him, of our mouth. And so, like the psalmist, we need to pray, Lord, accept my prayer and my praise and my adoration, as feeble as it may seem to be. And constantly teach me, help me to learn your ordinances, what your commandments are, and what your will is. We have to want to know God's Word before He'll teach it to us. If we have no desire to know it, then of course we will not. And so we need to have this same heart of wanting to be taught by the Lord. And being in His Word allows that to happen. Then we go on in 109. Nafshi bechapi tamid betoratacha lo shachakta, or shachakti. My soul in my hand is continually, or my soul is continually in my hand. Your Torah, O Lord, I have not forgotten. Your Lord, or your law, I have not forgotten. Notice, nafshi is from the noun nefesh, and it's in construct, becoming nafsh with the hirikyod, pronominal suffix, first person singular. So my soul, be, is the inseparable preposition beit, followed by the noun kaf, meaning hand. And notice again the pronominal suffix in the e, the hirik yod, first person singular. So my hand, or in my hand, is my soul. And continually, tamid, an adverb meaning continually. So my soul is continually in my hand. It seems like he's constantly feeling in the danger of life coming to an end by death or by something, a disease perhaps, or even enemies. So really he feels that his soul is almost like he's holding it in his hand. And so he needs help from the Lord. And he says, your Torah, yet, in spite of this, is probably the way we need to translate it, yet your Torah, or your instruction, this is from the noun Torah, meaning instruction or law. Notice it's in construct. This final hey changes to a tav, again in construct, feminine, construct with ha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine, singular. So your instruction or your Torah, I have not forgotten. Lo is the negative particle, not, never. And shachakti is from the root shachach, to forget. It is the kal perfect, first common singular. Notice the t suffix or affix to this form. So I have not forgotten your Torah. One of the most important things in life is to constantly remind ourselves of the Lord's words and to repeat them over in our heart and not forget them. Write them upon the tables of our hearts so that we can constantly have them before our mind and before us. One of the best things we can do, I think, is to memorize the word of the Lord and hide it in our hearts. And so he says, even though I'm facing dangers every day, I find that I am going to be faithful to your law, to your teaching. I have determined that I will not forget it. Paul in Romans 8 talks about all the struggles of life that he was going through. But then he concludes and says, neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things about to come, nor height nor depth shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to remind ourselves of what the Word teaches, of what Christ has taught us. When he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, he's promised never to leave us or forsake us. So we get assurance when we don't forget the Lord's instruction. Then in 110, verse 110, the psalmist continues, Natenu Rashaim Pachli. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet in spite of that, I will not go astray from your precepts. U mepikudecha lo ta'iti. Notice, natenu is the kal perfect, third common plural from natan, meaning they have given. The rashaim is from the noun rasha, meaning wicked or evil. So the evil ones, and notice im is the sign of the masculine plural suffix. So evil men or evil ones have placed pach, a snare. Pach is just a noun meaning snare or a trap. And li is the pronominal, the pronoun, the inseparable pronoun, lamed, followed by the first person singular pronominal suffix in the E. So, a snare for me the wicked ones have laid or have given. Yet, but, from your precepts. Notice the mem here. It means from, following the u, which is your conjunction. When the vav appears before the labial mem, it changes from a ve to a shuri. So the conjunction then is followed by mem, and the min here means from, and the noon has assimilated into the p, causing the dogish forte. So mi pekudecha and pekud. Pekud means precepts. And notice that the segol yod puts it into the plural, followed by the pronominal suffix cha. So your precepts, he is saying, lo ta'iti. Your precepts, I have not strayed away from or wandered away from. Ta'iti is from ta'a, to wonder. It's a lamed hay verb. And the yod here appears because historically it was a lamed yod form. So ta'iti, here it appears again in this form, followed by the suffix or affix t, first common singular pronominal or first common singular suffix, onto this cal perfect verb. So I have not wandered away or gone astray from your precepts. The wicked ones have laid a snare. This shows how his life was in his hands, so to speak. The wicked ones have laid a snare. A snare means a trap for me, whatever that trap might be. But in the midst of that, I did not go astray or wander away from your precepts. I have kept faithful to your precepts, even in the midst of adversarial circumstances. And one of the things we need to constantly say, and that is, Lord, help me not wander away from your word. Help me to stay fixed in your precepts, in your word. This is what the psalmist says he's done, in spite of those who were seeking to lay a snare for him. Then in 111, he continues, Nechalti edotecha le'ulam, ki sason lebi hema. Your testimonies I have taken as a possession forever, for the joy of my heart they are, for they are the joy of my heart. Notice nachalti is from the root nachal, meaning to take possession of something. And it's a cal perfect first common singular with the t suffix. So I have taken possession of your statutes. Eidotecha is from Eda, meaning statue. And notice the Ot is a feminine plural suffix, putting it into the plural, followed then by the Segol Yod, putting it in construct with Cha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So your testimonies, I have taken as a possession. In other words, I have possessed them, Olam, literally to the age, meaning forever. I've taken your testimonies and I have made them my possession. That is what we need to do. to make them our heritage, what we possess, what we inherit. It's a part of our soul. I'm reminded of Psalm 1. Ki bitturat Adonai chepso, uvitorato yegeyu mam belaila. In your Torah, the Torah, Adonai chepso, is his delight. And in his Torah, or in the Torah, but in his Torah, the Torah to, yegeyu mam belaila. It is interesting that Rashi, the medieval Jewish commentator, makes the statement that if we meditate in his Torah, Torah to, it will become Torah ti, our Torah, our possession. Paul had so imbibed the gospel in the New Testament that he could speak of my gospel in Romans chapter 1. So we're looking here at the importance of making the Word of God our possession forever, permanently, for the reason he's doing this, the conjunction ki, sason, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Sason is the noun meaning rejoicing, and it's in construct with libi. Libi is noun singular from lab, in construct, or it's in construct with the e, the pronominal suffix, first common singular. And hema is your personal pronoun, third masculine plural. In other words, they basically are my delight. That is, your statutes, your testimonies are my delight. They, for my rejoicing, or the rejoicing of my mind, of my soul, of my heart, is what they bring to me. And again, what a beautiful, beautiful statement here, that living by God's Word brings joy to our heart. It's not something that's a drudgery, but it's a joy. And like the psalmist, we need to make the Lord's testimonies of what He teaches a part of our soul. We're to take possession of them so that they are put inside of us and they're a part of us. One of the things in our technological age is that the Word of God is often outside of us. It's maybe in a handheld computer or online, or let's say in some technological kind of memory. But we need to put it in our own memory. We need God's Word to be in our heart, in our soul. And it's our possession then. And that's why over and over again this psalm is stressing the Word of God in the heart. Your Word have I hidden in my heart. I learned that as a little boy. Thy Word have I hidden in mine heart, in the Old King James Version, that I might not sin against you. Imratecha zafanti bilivi, in my heart, your Word have I hidden, ki lo echata lak, that I might not sin against you, Lord. So, but it also brings joy in our heart. And so we need to make it our possession, that is, the Lord's testimonies in His Word. And then the psalmist concludes in this noon section, beginning in 112, Natita libi la'asod chukecha le'olam ekev. I have inclined my heart to do your statutes, to perform them forever. And literally, ekev can be either at every step, literally it can mean step, or it can mean to the end. And I like the idea of to the end, or to the utmost. So I have turned, natiti is from nata, Again, it's a lamed hey verb that historically was a lamed yod, a final yod, and that yod reappears here, followed by the suffix t, or the affix t, I should say the personal pronoun affix that's put to this nata root to put it in the first person common singular. So it's just your cow perfect first person common singular, first person singular from nata. So I have inclined, or I have turned my heart. Libi is from the noun lib, and it's in construct becoming lib, and then the hirik yod, first common singular pronominal suffix, added to this noun. So I have inclined or turned my heart to perform or to do. Notice la asot is from the root asa. It is a lamed hay, a verb. And the final hay is changed to a tav here with a vav, holam vav preceding it in the infinitive construct. So this is just your cow infinitive construct to do your statutes, or to perform your statutes. Statutes chok, and here chukei, the singular chok is put into the plural noun in construct with the ha, the pronominal suffix. So I've inclined my heart to perform and to do your statutes. I want to do them. Jesus stresses not only hearing, but doing. Blessed are they that do what I've said. Not just the hearing of what he's taught, but the doing. And he emphasizes that in the Sermon on the Mount, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7 of Matthew. And so he goes on to say, Le'ulam Akev, forever. And then Akev means either step or in duration. In other words, or end. So we must supply something like to the end. So I'm going to turn my heart to your statutes forever, eternally, le'olam, to the age, or meaning forever, and to the end, understood, or to the utmost, meaning without end. All of my life, the psalmist is saying, I'm going to turn and incline my heart to obey your carved, like in stone, beautiful word here from Chok, your statutes into my soul to do them. One of the most important emphases of Scripture, it's not the hearers of the word, but the doers that are blessed. Over again, Jesus emphasizes that in his teaching. So we as Christians are to incline our heart to the statutes of the Lord and make it our lifelong desire to do what he has taught forever, or to the utmost of our strength, and even to the end of our life, to fulfill and do the Word of God. May that be our prayer. May that be our goal as we seek to follow our Lord and Savior as Christians, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.